receive. Do not be angry. Do not be offended, because the Word of God is offensive, especially when He comes and He hits us right where it hurts, and that's our heart. And this is, and I'm going to tell you right now, God goes after our heart, because again, your foundation, your base is your heart. Because without it, you don't live. You have no life without it. And if it's damaged, how many know what a damaged heart can do to you? It could mess with you like you won't believe. And I'm going to tell you, it can bring a pain that you don't even want to challenge. I know there's a lot of us that are brave. I can handle anything. I said, well, you be careful what you just said. Because when that has hit you, and I thought I was pretty strong, but when it hit me, OMG. It is real. It is a place and a pain that you do not want to challenge. But I thank the Lord that He brought us out. Come on. And we're here. And I know what the promises of God continue to do for us. And so this morning, what we're going to hit on is things that what we said about our words matter. And some of us don't understand that our words do matter. In fact, it matters the most when it's coming from us to whom it's going toward. Oftentimes, we don't realize that your whole life has been established because of the words you have said, the words you have spoken, the things that you don't realize today because it didn't exist like you thought it would, because it didn't come to pass. But we serve a God that lets things take a course and run a course, and He delivers it at a time that you're not ready for it, but you ask for it. Come on, somebody. And we know about asking. It's amazing. We sometimes we don't realize we're asking for things that are not necessary. And I'm telling you, if anything we need right now, we need prayer in our world more than anything. Come on. And a prayer that God would answer like He did for this young man. Amen. His team, he's sporting it, so he's a proud person today. And I have to tell you something. I'm rooting for this team because it's California. What can I say? And I'm a California born and raised. Can't stand it today, but I'm a Californian. And if God let me go, I'm going. I'll be out of here. But we're here. Say amen, somebody. Verse number 14 of the book of Psalms. We're going to touch on a tough subject in our words matter part two. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my foundation, my base, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that these words that are going forth, this word now, Father, let it fall on the grounds that you call good grounds, Lord God. Let it be established in every heart. Let it be received in every heart. And we know, Father, that these words are not going to come back void. It is a written promise. We stand on this, Father, that harvest can come from that at a season. And we pray because of the season now, we need these words to be alive. And we need harvest more than ever in our hearts. And right now, Father, we want to thank you for what you're about to say concerning our words, our meditation, our heart. And Father, we in Jesus' name, we thank you. Come on, somebody say amen to that. Let the words, come on, we're talking about words. How many know words? Words have meanings. Except in sometimes, you know, because I didn't understand this Ebonic talk. I didn't understand it. I don't understand some of the words that are so shortcut today. I mean, like, what? You know, like, how come you say that if we say sick, that means good? That's sick. What are you talking about? It looks good to me. How many know what I'm saying so far? Because things are changing and time is changing and words are beginning to change with that, but it's not a place where God designed that to change. Do you realize that we're in a season that everything is not acceptable to God? We're in a season and time that we, the believers of the Almighty God, and I thank God for that testimony, because that's nothing like having another believer next to you. Because that puts it in a more encouraging, strengthened time, because wherever two or three are gathered, there he is in the midst. But for those that believe, he's always with us. He never leaves us. And I thank God for those that need those. But I know that I speak it now that I'm never alone. But I also speak that I know there's things I can't always handle. So these words that we're about to learn of what God's word is, we're in a season that we are at a time to examine who we are and where we're at of whose we are. We're a season that if you know the scriptures, we got a lot of people that are posting that he's coming, and you're right, he's coming, but he's not telling you when. So this is why it's important that every night you go to bed right and you wake up every morning and be right. Because we don't know when he's coming. And yes, we have heard it for years. I've heard it for 44 plus years that he's coming. He's coming. And every sign proved that he's coming. And today I know he's coming. And I get excited. And then I get not so excited because we're not ready. And I thank God he hasn't come. And I thank the Lord that if you want to come today, can you please wait just a little longer, because those that I'm believing for are not ready. Does anybody have someone that they're waiting for to come to save the saving, bleeding side of Christ? I have a lot of them. Come on. I got neighbors other than just family. I mean, we want all our family saved. Come on. And we know that is a promise according to Acts 16 and 31. If I believe, say, I believe. Well, believing means I need to belong to what I believe in, and I need to hold on that the rest of that scripture can become alive. And that is, my household shall be saved. I go beyond the household. I said, my bloodline. And I always say, these are my words, Lord, my bloodline be saved. And I can say for right now, as God is my witness, say he's my witness. How many know he witnesses everything? So I'm not lying to you. I'm not putting something out there that's fabricated. I'm telling you, as my witness, every relative that I've had to bury went home to be with the Lord. Oh, no, no. Went home to be with the Lord. And God allowed us to lead them that way. And I rejoice with that. Come on, somebody. Because why? Because he promised it. How many know that his promises are yes and amen? How many, have you read that in the book of Corinthians anywhere? See, on Wednesday night, we're breaking the word down daily. We're going actually this Wednesday night. By the way, this Wednesday night, because of the project we're entering, we will be having our Wednesday night service in the fellowship hall. So don't come in here. Go to the fellowship hall, which is next door. That's where we're going to be meeting. Come on. Amen. Because we don't want you to be smelling the paint and all that. And so with that, I rejoice because we're getting back to, because, you know, we're fighting a good fight. Have you heard that? That you're supposed to be fighting. Say, I'm the fighter. You know I got a lot of men out here that love boxing and they love kickboxing along with the wrestlings and all that come with that, you know, the cage fighting and all that. That's not the fighting we're talking about. The fight that we're fighting, I don't care how much and how often you exercise, if you don't know this Bible of yours and you don't exercise the things that God tells you to exercise in, you're going to lose the fight. No matter how big and strong you think you are. Remember this. Go back to the prior covenant. Who took down Goliath? It wasn't another soldier. Oh, you missed it. It wasn't another soldier. It was a shepherd boy. Underage. He wasn't a full-grown adult. Hello, somebody. And what was the victorious section of his? A rock. And I mean, you know, you're on the rock. Hello, people. You better understand this word. And so he's saying now, going back to Psalms 14 verse of chapter 18, let the words of my mouth, see the words of my mouth, be acceptable. Again, everything you say is not acceptable to the will of God, in the will of God. And I don't care. And you know, sometimes, I'm sorry, you're not going to agree with this, and you have a right, and I don't care. That's your right. God doesn't bless everybody. Oh, Jesus, now you hate me. But I got news for you. Jesus comforted me right now because he says, that's okay, son. They hated me first for what I told them. Come on, somebody. Because I spoke what they didn't want to hear. And I know that we mean well. I know that we desire to do things in the right manner. But everything that we speak is what matters. And we must come to learn to speak as God has asked us to speak. In fact, now you're going to hate me even more, God. They're going to crucify me for this. In fact, God would have you to speak less words than some of us speak now. Oh, Jesus. Well, Pastor's not happy today because he's not saying a lot. I don't say a lot anyway. You know why? Because he told me to do something. How many of you know this? That he said, watch and pray. He didn't say talk and pray. Oh, Jesus. Now, see, God, here. It's okay. I got my cross. It's right here. It's lit. I'm not afraid of it. That's my cross. I carry this every day with me. He says again, 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. The word of Jesus says, where your heart is, there's where your treasures are. Come on, how many have heard that? Book of Matthew, 6th chapter. You'll find it there. I'm not going to tell you what verse. Because like if you hear it on Wednesday night, the Bible wasn't written in verses or chapters. There were letters. They were in the scrolls. You had to find it. So we'll tell you, 6th chapter of Book of Matthew tells you where your treasures are. There is your... And whatever's coming out from your heart, if we covered that in the last... two Sundays, what is coming from your heart? Remember what we just heard it earlier, right? David, were you here when I said when we say things like we're just kidding? Just kidding. No, you weren't. Half the times we're not kidding. We really mean it, but because you've seen the expression or the effects that it's doing, I'm just kidding. How many know what I just said? How many know that you have said it? Just kidding. Okay, you don't say it like that. Okay, great. I was just joking, man. Oh, come on, people. This is real. This is a real life. This is a real journey. This is a real walk. This is why it's so important that we understand about the words of my mouth and understand what is coming out of these from my heart to this world, because not everything that we're speaking is of God or from God. Well, I've heard so many false prophecies come in that the Lord said. The Lord didn't say that. Because I know the Lord's word. I know that verse. I know where the book is. And that's not what the Lord said. We like it to sound right. We like it to sound good. Sometimes we say things that we could just be recognized. And I'm going to tell you here, I'm not here to be recognized. I'm here to disciple. My position is to disciple you, to make it, to be ready for what's coming. Come on, somebody. Life ain't over. We got over one victory. Amen. Get ready for the next victory, because we go from victory to victory to victory. Come on. That means there's going to be issues and issues and more issues. And we go from precept to precept to precept. That means faith to faith to faith. That means our faith must constantly be intact. That means we're going to be prepared for the day that's coming, because it's coming. And what is it? Life. It's just life. Hello? Brother just told me before service started, he goes, I got a call at midnight. And how many know when you get a call at midnight, it's probably not good? Come on, say amen. So prepare now. Prepare for what you're about to hear in the return. How many know what I just said? Yeah. Amen. I've gotten those calls many a times, especially from the saints of God. Amen. And if they're calling because they're not paying attention, I say goodnight to you. You deal with it because you didn't pay attention, because you didn't hear the words that I said to you, and you decided to run with your own words. Oh, Jesus, help me here. And now because you can't sleep, I'm going to sleep. Just because God's dealing with you, He's not dealing with me. I'm in perfect peace, like the Bible tells me I can be. My sleep can be perfect. Isaiah 26 and 3. Oh, you guys, you are a fun group this morning. But I'm going to take you to a place now about the words of my mouth. Come on, say the words of my mouth. I'm going to hit up a subject here. We're going to go to the book of Luke, chapter 11. And I'm going to stay in the King James Version. And I'm going to bring some things out that I've learned what the Lord means when He says, pick up your own cross and carry it. You know what that means? Just bring the bag of steaks with you. And I'm not talking to have a barbecue. The steaks that they drove into His palms. The steaks that they drove into His feet. That's what He means. Carry it, because they're going to crucify you. You see, somewhere we believe that we're here to be liked. You could do what He did. And He says we're going to do things that He did. Who's He? Our Savior. Right? He raised the dead. He opened blind eyes. He gave the maimed ability to walk and do things once again. He gave a voice. He gave hearing to those that couldn't hear. And yet, they crucified Him. And yet, they praised Him one morning, and then the next morning, crucified Him. The words. Now, Luke is going to bring something to us, and I like the way the Apostle Luke brings it out. And he was a physician. How many know Luke was a physician? So he wrote things differently. He brought it out to the places where those that love to break down every word, that every point of action that took place, and how you clean the windows. You should have smiled at that. Well, I had to get up and I had to go, you know, I found a bucket. And once I got the bucket, I had to make sure that I put the right amount of water, that it won't spill over. And I had to have the right rag. And I wanted to make sure I had the white. So did you clean the window? Yes or no? You know it's true, but I'm just saying to you, hello. I didn't ask for an explanation. You see, Jesus wrote this book, and in this book, He said, let your conversations be yea or nay. For you that don't understand that, yes or no. No explanation needed. But guess what? We have those that love to give us explanations from the beginning to the... We just smile, right? And go somewhere else. And then when the conversation is over, I've learned, okay, was that a yes? Or do I got to do it? Did it get done? Yeah? Okay, that's fine. So Luke is going to put it in a place on the 11th chapter. And it's going to be hurtful, because the whole chapter 11 is a great chapter. It's a place where he's speaking. And he's teaching how to pray. He's teaching things that are going to happen. He's teaching things. And then all of a sudden, he had the shift in his teaching. Because a Pharisee, how many know what a Pharisee is? Now I know you're not going to like this. Sometimes we're Pharisees. We are, sometimes. We just don't know how to admit that yet. And now I'm not, Pastor. I'm born again. I'm filled with the Holy Spirit. I speak in an unknown tongue. I lay hands on the sick and they have recovered. Come on. I've prophesied and it's come to pass. I'll never be a Pharisee. How dare you say that? I said, I didn't say that. The Word's going to say that. I just admitted sometimes we are. Notice, I didn't say you are. I said we are. Hello? Because I know my journey in the last years, before pastoring and after pastoring. Boy, have I learned. And I'm still learning. Because I don't shut my cup up. I have not received it yet. I'm still here. And we're in a different time zone. So I got to be ready to learn about the time I'm in. Come on. When I said about words from the Ebonic time, it was hard to understand Spanish that we learned from grandma and grandpa that came legally into the United States. So I believe in legalities and legalism. And when it comes to coming to our country legally, I believe in that because my grandmother and grandfather came legally through the system and brought my mother, birthed her here, by the way, birthed us here, and I had to deal with being a Mexican growing up in a time that we weren't the most liked. Dirty Mexican. Dirty, I'm going to tell my mom. Mom, you didn't use the right detergent. They call me Dirty Mexican. Spick. I go, spick? You know a lot of these things. Come on, hello, somebody. We haven't had it Peachy King our whole life. What that did is made me angry. And what that did made me to retaliate because that's what anger will do to us. What that did is allow bitterness to enter, hello, at a very young age because all we were trying to do is do right according to where we were birthed at. So I agree in that. Come on, don't get mad at me. The Bible agrees with that. And I'm sorry, this is the God we serve. So I'm about to tell you about Phariseeism and who we are. I'm verse 37, chapter 11, book of Luke. Again, we're still, our words matter. Watch, I say our words. And you don't know what your words are going to do to you until it comes to pass. Amen. Come on, somebody. I explained some of that last week about jumping out of an airplane of something I asked that I would like to do. And 20 years later, it comes to pass, the age of 50. Come on, somebody. I had to accept it because it's a gift. But 37 says, after all this that he's talking, and how many know that when you're talking, people are listening, especially when you're around people. Hello. I hear conversations everywhere I go. I listen to, how about when you're in the market and people are behind you talking? Have you ever listened to them? It's amazing what some of these people will say. Amen? And so, verse 37, and as he spoke, a certain Pharisee, say Pharisee, and what is a Pharisee to you? What is he to you? If you look it up in Hebrew, a religious person. That's why I say we are sometimes religious. Some of us are in that mode right now without realizing it because we don't mean to be. But if we don't know the difference, we walk in that manner. The Pharisees didn't believe in resurrection. We do. Say amen. How many believe in the resurrection? How many know we're going to rise? Come on. I look for that day. Amen. We're going to see everybody, right? And then what's going to happen after that? It's going to be life is beautiful. Not if you know the word, because then comes a judgment. What? Oh, we're going to be judged for everything we said, and we covered that last week. By every word, you're going to be justified or you're going to be condemned. And I'd rather be justified. No matter what everybody else says, I'm concerned what God says. And so this Pharisee came after he was paying attention. He was listening. A certain Pharisee besought him to come dine with him, and he went and sat down with him to meet. For you non-meat eaters, Jesus ate meat. Just for the sake of that, okay? I just threw that in there. But here, listen to this. A Pharisee invited him into his house, and he accepted. Now, this is where it's going to get nasty. Say nasty. Well, see, I heard nasty doesn't mean like we think. It looks like awesome, good, great. Just kidding. People are sick. See, you're sick. I said, you're sick. I didn't mean you're great. I mean, you're sick. The way you're thinking, it's wrong. But you got to be careful how you speak today. And we shouldn't have to be like that in the church. I must speak the words that he tells me to speak. And it will bring an offense sometimes because the word is offensive. But he told me, don't let it bother me. Come on. Because they must come. And he sat down with them and to enjoy a meal. How many love enjoying a meal? How many love enjoying a meal? You know, it's biblical families that have meals. I love it. Come on. That's why I throw, you know why we throw dinners here or luncheon. I want to sit with you. I want to enjoy you. But I have to be careful where I'm going to sit because how you doing? How's the day? It's not what I wanted to hear. It's a meal. Let's enjoy the meal. I understand what you're facing. I understand where you're headed for. We're praying for you because what you know, God knows, and God tells us to pray for that. So here he is invited into it. Listen, this is going to cut a little bit, but that's okay. I'd rather have you cut now and make heaven your home and not make it your home because I didn't tell you. Because I only have you today. This might be the last time I see you here. We never know. I might be the one going. Come on. No one's exempt of being promised tomorrow. And he went in. And I can see Jesus. Man, I just did all this work. I just did all this explaining, Lucy. I explained all this to you. And Ricky Ricardo saying, hey, come on and join me. And I can see Jesus going to, just to enjoy a meal. Because he got invited in. But how many know that he knew what was coming? Come on. And this is where it's going to get a little tight. And we're almost there. And the Lord said unto him, verse number, 38. And when the Pharisee saw, say he saw, I'm telling you, you're always being looked at, especially if you confess Christianity, especially you that love to wear your Dodger shirts, angel shirts, or I'm a Ram. You see me with my Rams today? I didn't wear it because the one I have, the quarterback, is no longer our quarterback, so I'm not going to expose his name. He gave us trouble last year. Come on. That's a little teasing. Come on. Somebody's always watching you. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't matter your age. They're watching you. And when the Pharisee saw it in verse number 38, one more time, he marveled. Sounds like us. What? That he had not first washed his hands before dinner. Of everything that he saw in the invitation, he should have been glad that Jesus accepted his invitation. Some of you need to be glad that he came to you and invited you into his house. Come on. And he wanted to be a part of your house, your heart. But he's marveling. He's marveling because if you come into my house, you're going to hear it. Wash your hands. Moms, come on. Moms, wash your hands. Dads, wash your hands. Hello, did you wash your hands? Yeah, I didn't see you. Shucks. Got caught again, right? Well, they're clean. Hello. But the problem was, the Pharisee was not marveling for the goodness of humanity. He's marveling because of religion. Say religion. And his religious ways were about to be exposed. And I believe sometimes our religious ways need to be exposed. Come on. Are you here? Okay. Because here, you know what? He marveled, and you might not think, but he knows your thoughts. Only one knows your thoughts. Only one can read your thoughts. Come on, somebody. Satan cannot read your thoughts. So stop saying things about the devil that don't exist. Only God can read your mind. No one else. Well, what about the psychics? Well, the psychics only tell you what you've spoken. That's all. They can only tell you the familiar spirits, if you know the spiritual warfare. They can only repeat what you have spoken. So when you go, you that go and go see this crystal ball, come see my crystal ball. I don't have one, that's why. And it's free. You don't have to give me no money because I'm going to tell you. They can only tell you what you have been speaking. That's called the familiar spirit. It heard you and now it comes to you. Be careful out there. Say amen, somebody. This is a warfare. And the verse 39, and the Lord said unto him, you know what? The man marveled. He didn't question him, or maybe he did question him. You know, maybe he did say something, or maybe his gesture. I mean, you know, your gestures. Pastor, not smiling. It must be a bad mood. I can't walk around like this all day. I do, but I can't. Okay, I've not learned that. I'm not an actor. Because he's about to say a word about actors. And that's what that word's going to represent and what he's saying. And the verse 39, the Lord said unto him, Now, do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup? Now he's going to respond to something he's not being asked of. But be careful, right? Be careful what the word is trying to explain to us. He says, now do you again, the Pharisee, make clean the outside of the cup on the platter, but your inward part is full of ravenings and wickedness? What? You see how God, see how the Lord's response, he's given a response to your thoughts. Because he marveled that he didn't wash his hands. He didn't marvel about what he just did and what he saw and the words of wisdom that he was speaking. He didn't marvel at that. And that's us sometimes. We don't marvel at the right things that we should, especially the things that God has already given you and done for you. Things that he presented to you, raised you up, intervened. How many know God has intervened for us many a times? That's what we should be speaking continuously, not as something that makes no sense. And here it goes. He says, you fools. And, you know, Jesus said this, and I don't know if he really said it right here, because he says that call no man no fool. But here he's saying it. You fools, verse 40. You fools, did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? Hello, then the outside is also made by the same one that made the inside. How many understand this? And how many understand that the Pharisees like to make the outside clean? That's a religion. We like to look good. We like to talk good. We like to seem that we're good. Come on. But here, your meditation, your marveling is being not accepted. Why? Because he knew their thoughts. How many know he knows my thoughts? So I got to be careful half the time. Hello, I got to be careful. Because if we're not, it's going to catch us off guard. And how many know, once a thought is perceived and conceived, if we're not careful, again, the writer James, the Apostle James says, it's not wrong to be tempted in temptation. What's wrong is to fulfill the temptation. And all that starts with a thought. Say a thought. Because you're meditating on it. And we already knew with the meditation, but the words, it started with words. And you know, those words weren't even spoken out loud. How many of you have spoken words in your thinking? But you don't realize he hears them. Come on, that's why about it's a good thing about meditation, but be careful, because there's a meditation that's not acceptable to God. And it comes from the Middle East. Not all meditations are correct. Hello, somebody. Be careful for this warfare. And he says, you fools, did you not make the... I'm paraphrasing now. Hey, did he not make what he made on the outside, on the inside? It's pretty simple. Come on. All right? 2 + 2 = 22, right? Come on. It's simple. And then he goes, but rather give alms of such things that you have, and behold, all things are clean unto you. And it's good that you do that. He says, but 44, he goes on. 42, excuse me. I keep jumping. I'm getting too excited. I got to calm down. And it's warm up here. It was warm yesterday down there. It's up here warm. Verse 42. But woe unto you, Pharisee. He didn't say one. Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manners of herbs and pass over judgment and love of God. These ought you to have done and not leave the other undone. But woe unto you, Pharisees, you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue and greeting the market. Woe unto you, you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Here it comes. How many know what a hypocrite means? It means actor. You're playing the role. You're playing a part. Come on, somebody. Unto you. For you hypocrites, for as you are as graves which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. And he said, oh. Okay, what does this have to do with my tongue, though, God? My meditation? Well, he's speaking to you already. Your thoughts. Your words. And he's had to deal with me from my time of my not my salvation. Yes, my salvation, because I had a dirty mouth. And I wasn't a sailor. I mean, and I wasn't French. I was me. Rising up the way I rose, talked the way I talked, and I didn't have a clean mouth. How many know what I mean? And getting saved, God began to do what he does best, teach us. And now, being taught even more in continual education with him, because we have continual educations in our world, correct? Come on. You want an AA? Okay. Got your A, now go to your BA. Got your B, now go to your master's. After your master, you can go for your doctorate. Why do I have to go from PhD all the way to the PhD after I reach my AA? Why can't I just have it all under my AA? Because there's more to learn, correct? That's our system, isn't it? The system also pertains to the walk that we do. This is why watch out for your season. What season are you in? We're in fall, but that doesn't mean you're in fall. What season are you in this journey of what you're hearing this morning, what you're seeing about what's on our screen or what this man is saying to you that you may not know as well? And it doesn't matter. Don't look at me. Hear the words of the Lord. Hear what the word of God is speaking. Come on, because that's the most important factor. Because these words are not coming back void. And these words are the only words that are going to exist at the end of day. Say the end of day. And he's correcting them because he says, you clean the outside. But you don't clean the inside, because inside is where everything's coming from. Your foundation, your base, your heart is where everything is coming from. And then, as we said, and where your treasures are, say, my treasures. Your life shows everyone where your heart is, especially in the kingdom of God. And how many know where the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God is within. It's not in the heavens. We're going to the heavens, but we're on earth. It's in us. Amen, somebody. If you only understand, study what the kingdom of God is within you. It's a wonderful stage to come and be in. And as he's teaching us, out of this one right here. He's teaching this Pharisee, but he's speaking to all religious ones. You like to take care of the outside, but you don't take care of the inside. And you don't realize it's what's out inside, what's come proceeding from to the outside, especially the things that you meditate in, especially the things you speak. You love the good words. You love to be patted on the back. Come on, everybody loves that. Say amen. That's what we all tell everybody. Good job, good job. If it's a good job. If it's a bad job, say, hey, we need to talk. Because now we got to do double the work. See, you don't want to invite somebody over like myself. And don't ask me, if you invite me, don't ask me if I liked your food. Because now you're going to put me in a position, am I going to lie or not? Because my wife has spoken into my life that I'm very picky. Am I picky? She made me that way. We used to eat everything before we got right with God. Come on. But understanding about what I just said to you on these matters that we don't realize what... The words that we didn't realize that means so much, because we heard it. It brings life and death. We heard it last week. Everything we speak, be careful for what your words are. Be careful on your meditation that your heart is providing, because it's not everything is of and for God. Right now, let me tell you what. I've had to readjust my walk constantly, because when I first got right, I was very religious. I was the best Christian you can ever find. Born again. I put it everywhere in my car. Born again. Anybody been like that? Amen. Everybody knew, because I made sure everybody knew that I got right with God. I got saved. I got filled, and I've been cleansed. Not realizing that what needed to be done after that fact. It wasn't what I posted all over my car, what I posted all over my body. And I didn't tattoo it, by the way. I didn't put none of that stuff on me. Come on, somebody. But what I did do is learn, because the Lord had to teach us, because I didn't realize I became very religious, because I would put you down. You must not be in church. What church did you go to that loves that? Come on, somebody. Help me know what I'm saying. Come on, look at you. Back then, Maybelline likes you. I mean, you know what Maybelline is. You got to go back 44 years with me. Hello? It was a warfare for us because, because I read and I understood it and I thought I understood it about women, how they all ought to dress. I never thought about me. Put my wife down for dressing the way she did. Hello? It's because I was immature. Not understanding my mouth, my words, not understanding about my meditation, not realizing my heart isn't right yet. Hello? And it needed to become right. And that came with time and maturity. That comes with studying. That comes with everything that we like that is needful that we become victorious because we are victorious today. Say amen, somebody. And I watch what I say. I don't bite my tongue. I just don't let it speak what I hear because my thoughts, I said, those are not yours, God. Those are not your thoughts because if it's a bad word coming in, that means I heard a bad word out. But it's not what goes in that defiles the man we read. It's what comes out. Come on, say amen, somebody. I can't even say the word that starts with a P when you urinate. No, he urinated. I'm sorry, it's feces. It's dung. I can't say those other words because he cleansed me. It's dirty to me. Say to me. I hear Christians cussing all day long. I said, man, God help me. Don't let me be like that. See, no, wait. They're not where I'm at, Lord. Help them become where I'm at. Hello, because I'm cleaning the outside, but the inside needs cleaning. And most of us don't realize, well, I'm not that way. Well, what do you mean you're not that way? The big thing here was it was tradition. It was custom washing the hands. And I may know we wash our hands a lot today. Now that COVID come on me, what are you carrying in your purse, ladies, guys, in your cars? What do you carry? Is it a hand cleaner? 99%? A little squirty thing that you put in your rub. Why are you doing that? Why can't you just say, Lord, my hands are clean? Because whatever we speak and believe in, it happens. Oh, never mind. See, I'm not going there. That's okay. I'm not going there. Where I'm going is that you understand that we got to be careful that religion doesn't rule our relationship that we have with God. Because with God, it's about the relationship. Come on, say amen. And I had to agree with the prayer. This is me, not the Lord. Get it? This is me, not the Lord. I prayed that the Lord make Leo happy. Let them win, God. I'm going to pick on you, brother. You're a cipher in the church. I'm kidding. You can wear, I don't care what you wear. I really don't care. I don't. But if it's too prerogative, I'm going to come tell you. Not me. If it's a woman, she's coming after you. My wife. If it's you guys, come here. Come on. Let's go to the back and talk. Come on. Say amen, somebody. What do you mean? I'm not a Pharisee. I'm not religious. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. You like to condemn everything that you do. But as long as you're doing it, it's okay. It's almost like what we're seeing in our politics today. It's okay for them, but not for you. Get it right here. But what are we saying? We're saying is you're telling people that you shouldn't lie, but you lie. You're telling people you shouldn't walk like this, but you're walking that way. Not understanding that this is what the Pharisees were doing. They were so concerned about him washing his hands, which is a good thing because it's custom, right? It's customary back then. I don't know how they did it back then. I really don't know that. Because they didn't have running water like we do. They didn't have soaps like we have. Come on. But where we are today, we learn from this that we understand that he said those are hypocrites that like to clean the outside versus the inside. I'm not justifying anything, but I had to justify because I didn't agree with everything. And this is us, say us. Say it's that guy up there. I'm getting ready to close you. And here's what he said. And I had to learn years ago. Because like I said, I would put you down to what you wore, the way you dressed, the way you acted. And then I put down a lot of things, especially when it came to holidays. Say holidays. Because believe it or not, you're not going to like this. Jehovah Witnesses are kind of right. They don't celebrate no holidays, no birthdays. Because it's not written in the Bible to celebrate birthdays. Come on. Come on. They're kind of right. Forget about Christmas. Forget about birthdays. Forget about, they don't even celebrate Thanksgiving. You know, there's countries that don't celebrate Thanksgiving. We do. Hello? They don't celebrate Christmas. We do in America. And we justify it, don't we not? Why do we celebrate Christmas? I'm coming after you right now. Why are we coming after you? Why do we celebrate Christmas? Because it's not biblical. Biblical, there is a celebration in December. The Jewish celebration that God says, honor. Say honor. There's one that's coming. It's called Hanukkah. Hello, somebody. He says, do this yearly. He talks to the Jewish brethren. Being born again, you became into the family of the Jewish culture. That's why we hang the Jewish flag here. I believe in our Jewish brother. They have not been replaced. Theology replacement is baloney. They're still the apple of his eye. Come on. So be careful. Say amen. And another one, Islam got it better than we do. And I don't agree with either religion. I just spoke. They pray five times a day, no matter what. Say no matter what. And you're not going to stop them. I don't care if they're on the job. It's my right and duty. And most jobs let them. You as a Christian want to take a couple of minutes to read your Bible. You can't do that here. We heard the testimony about the school. You can't talk like that. But you tell that Islam religion, you can't pray those five times during a prayer a day. Five times, not once, not twice, five times. And they do it daily. Say daily. And the Bible says we ought to pray daily. And praying daily doesn't mean you're in your car always driving. Praying daily means go spend some time. Get in your closet 5 minutes somewhere. Get in the bathroom if you have to, right? Say amen. No, we got to pray together. No, he wants you separate sometimes. Because he wants to tell you something different as he's going to tell your spouse something different of the day. Say the day. You see, but we see things wrong. We're Pharisees at this point. Because none of those do exist, but we honor them. Come on. For years, I didn't honor Halloween. We're having Harvest Fest. And boy, have I heard it ever since I began doing that way at the other location. What kind of Christian are you? I said, there's only two kinds. The ones that are and the ones that aren't. And I am one. And you're right. I used to think the same way because I was a Pharisee. I cleaned the outside. No way, but the Lord had to speak to me. He said, the Lord spoke to him. He said, you're a hypocrite. Have you heard the Lord ever tell you that? I took it for you then. It doesn't feel good when the Lord speaks directly to you. It does not feel good. And I said, I don't understand. How am I acting this role? How am I being religious? He says, why you honor Christmas? If you read in the prior covenant, it's against it. It's against ornaments on a tree. And he took me there. I said, oh, Jesus. They actually worshiped it. Oh, I'm not against Christmas. I'm not going there. I'm talking about my words. I'm talking about my heart, my foundation. Because if I was, you wouldn't see a harvest coming. But the religious ones, that was me. And he says, you're a hypocrite. You celebrate Christmas. You celebrate Thanksgiving. And that, they don't thank me. They thank those who were involved at that time, back then. You celebrate all these things. You're a hypocrite. And I said, well, explain that, God, please, because I need to be changed. I don't want to be religious. He says, good, because I didn't make you religious. I brought you from religion. Because religion said I could do whatever I want, long as I pay my penance. I didn't have to go to church. Hello? And I said, explain it more, Lord, because I need to change and I'm going to have to deal with all those that I have to deal with. And then that's when he explained it. This is my day. Study. This was Hollow's day. It was a day that we all got together way back in the days and somebody twisted. But forget about that because we're not in the prior covenant. We're in a new covenant. We're in a new day. This is my day. I said, right. He says, most people that do not honor this day don't honor me. Listen to what I just told you. This is my day. And my people, what do they do? And justify? They run it and said, I'm not going to celebrate it because that was me. And I don't get it, Lord. I don't understand. And as I begin to close you with this and a couple more scriptures that you can study for yourself because I'm coming after your tongue. I'm coming after, no, that's not me. The Lord wants to make you speak right. He says, you know what the rest of Christianity is doing? That think just like you? They're going to go home. Some of them are going to justify. They're going to give out candy. But they said, we're going to pass out tracts. And we're going to justify this day by not realizing you're justifying the day by giving it. I said, I don't get this, Lord. Help me. He said, it's my day. Don't hide in my day. If you're going to hide in my day, hide in Thanksgiving. Hide in Christmas. Hide in your birthday. Hide in this celebration. I said, oh, God, help me here. October 31st is the day that the Lord would make if he comes. This is why I have changed my thoughts. This is why I've changed the way I am. I've changed the way I speak. I changed the way my foundation is. This is no devil's day. This is God's day that's coming. And we're going to take back what the enemy has stolen. See, but we don't want to talk like that because we want to go against it because it's honoring. No, it's not honoring. We're taking back. And for those that are religious, they go hide. By hiding, you give Satan the victory of that day, is how he told me. I said, I ain't giving him no day. No victory. Come on, somebody, say amen. Why? Because I'm not cleaning the outside. I'm cleaning the inside. And I'm sorry. I had to repent. I'm sorry, God. I put everyone down. I was no different than this Pharisee. Neither are you if you do the same. I have a family member that I just read about. Now, and you got to read between the lines, right? She attends a great church, a big church in Riverside, and posted about Halloween and how wrong it is that we partake. I said, is she sending me a message? Just call me. Beat me if you want to reach me. And I started looking at that. I said, what? I said, before you attended that church, you attended my church. And after you left my church to be with, and your husband went to my friend's church, which is fine, you celebrated Harvest Fest because they got my friend has one of the greatest harvest days in Corona that the city honors, and they shut down the streets for him. And you had your kids there forever. And now that you joined another church, we're wrong. Pharisee. Phariseeism. You like to clean up. You like to be heard. You like to be noticed. This is what Jesus, woe to you. Come on, say amen. And to add to that, what we got to be careful for in closing, in what you speak, half a truth is still a whole lie. How many know what that means? Half the truth. How many know we like to say half the truth at times? And yet it doesn't. Psalms 116. I'm closing with. I'm gonna read one, and I'm gonna tell you. You can write it down, or it'll be on the recordings for us. Psalms 116. It's quiet in here. My tablet is acting up. Put it on the screen with Psalms 116 and put verse number 11. Oh, no, I can. when he says, I don't lie, Lord, I don't lie. I'm not a liar. I don't do that. Listen to what Psalm says to us. Verse number 11. David said, I said in my haste, all men are liars. Ouch. Somewhere we got to be careful, because if there's no truth in it, then that means there's half a truth, which represents a whole lie. Say a whole lie. It's not God's will that we say anything, and then we got to be careful for that. Hello, somebody. Because if you don't read, I'll realize that there's so much. Romans chapter 3 says it in a different way. Put Romans chapter 3, verse number 4 for me up there. That way I don't have to be waiting for my tablet. I don't know what's wrong. It's not receiving the signal like it should here. Romans chapter 3, verse number 4. And then 1 John chapter 2, verse 4. Certainly not indeed, let God be true, but every man. Now this is New Testament. You have a tendency within you to lie. You have a tendency to say half what you want to be a lie. So you cut it and say half a truth. But in God's view, in God's eye, it's a whole lie. Hello, somebody. And if you don't believe me, I mean, if you don't believe me, it says in John, 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 4. Put that up there for me, because my thing is too slow, or else I'd be going real quick. He that says, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a... See, you don't just have to speak, it's what you do. He's coming to make sure we understand, church. Say church. That's us. How many know we're the church? Come on. He that says, I know him and does not keep his commandment is what? Is what? Say it out loud. How many know we have failed? Because I know you love everybody. I know you do. Because he told you love your enemy. Come on. And we justified that last week. Come on. And then he goes, and the truth is not in him. Help us, Jesus. Revelation 21 and 8. I was just going to tell you, I'm closing with this one. I think we need to read them, because some of you won't read them. Because it's coming after our foundation. Say amen. He's coming after me. Why? Because he loves me. And how many know that he chastises those that he loves? He's not chastising. He's correcting you because he's coming. He is coming. But so is the enemy coming after you. And you don't know how many have been in close accidents recently. You'd be surprised, right? Oh, my God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, somebody. Got sick. Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. He's coming. But so is the enemy, because you are issued to the enemy. So God wants to strengthen you, right? Revelation chapter 21. Closing with this, number 8. Because if you want to continue to believe that, that's fine. If, you know, I grew up with somebody. He's now saved, but he's got a tag on him. I don't want to say his first name, but they used to call him such and such Mentiras. Okay, you know what that means, right? So I'm going to put my name, but it's not me. Albert the Liar. That's how they knew him in the streets. All right, here comes Mentiras over here. Here he comes. He's been saved for years now. Even I have to be careful, because it pops up, because I know him from where I came from. And they said, oh, there comes Albert the Liar. He's in church. And where does that come from? Because it's in my thoughts. Why is it in my thoughts? Because it's in my heart. And I try to release it. And he starts telling me stories. When I do see him, I want to believe him, but I'm having an issue. See, I'm being honest with you. And I look at the brother and I feel bad, because he's older than me. And he was oldest brothers that departed years ago to be with the Father, the Lord, that is. He's one of his good friends. And and everybody that might be around me, oh, there he comes. I said, oh, my God. And he comes to me, Pastor Albert, good to see you. I said, oh, are you happy really to see me? And I'm not believing you. Are you really happy? And he starts telling me stories, and I said, "Oh God, help me with this." But I have to correct myself. I have to get myself in check because I know those aren't the word of the Lord. And I have to be careful how I'm going to respond. Say amen. And how do I respond when he said, you know, that what he says to me, I thank you. It is good to see you too. And I'm glad to see him. Because if you did lie, you didn't die. You're still here. We got another day. Revelation chapter 21, verse number 8. It finally came here on my screen. It says, but the cowardly unbelieving. Look at this. This is the final writings of our book, the Bible. But the cowardly, how many of there's coward Christians out there? Huh? They're called undercover. They're only Christian when you're Christian and there's nobody else around. But in out there, I ain't Christian. I ain't not like them. Come on. Unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, for you that like witchcraft, idolaters, that you think that you're a god and he's not, and all, say all. What did he say? Is that, that's his word. All liars shall have their part, right, in the lake, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Ladies and gentlemen, my brothers and my sisters, our words matter, so be careful. Be careful about what responses that are you going to give. What counsel are you giving? What directions are you trying to direct? We've heard many things because in your meditations, you might be thinking things that you're not realizing at the heart, and it's not right. And it's not right because it qualifies somewhere here, but we're talking just about the lying part, the half-truths. Come on. Have you been drinking today? Me? No. Liar. Did you have some water, coffee this morning? He goes, yeah. Then you had something to drink. Respond correctly. Well, what are you talking about drinking? Come on. If you think I had alcohol, oh no. Take the breath test. Come on. But before you do that, you know, you see what I'm saying? We can twist things. Come on. Amen. You take drugs? How many are on medications? How many are on medications? Come on. How many take aspirin? Tylenol? Ibuprofen? Be careful. Come on. Response is what he's after. Before you speak, think of what you're about to say, because it will come against you. Come on. But in the eyes of God, all liars are liars. Half-truth are whole truth, our whole life. Half-truth are whole lies. And taking it from here, that he has it, that you be careful. Stop cleaning the outside, which is good. Clean up. I've cleaned up very well. It's the day that the Lord has made today. And it's going to be like that for us on the 31st. I'm going to text my family member that put that out and say, you want to come help me? In fact, we asked them because their church gives a lot of goodies out. So we already asked them, do you have any goodies we could have for that day? Oh, we don't have that kind, but I'll ask for you. Oh, thank you. And then I'm going to text and I'm going to get back to them and say, you want to come help us? Because we could use some help. Since your church is not doing it, I'm fine with that. I don't care. Hello? Right? But it was okay that you had a car show on Sunday morning. And they didn't have to be a part of your church. And you gave them money for having the best show car and they weren't saved. Well, that is okay. More power to you. See, I can come against whatever, but I've learned. Say, I've learned. God is teaching. Be careful because your words do matter. Come on, say amen. Now stand to your feet. It'll be hopefully on the recordings today. Say amen, somebody. It'll be on there, and you can go back and listen to it if you like. It's free. Just like your matches is free. Bowing your heads, Heavenly Host, we come before you. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father, for our foundation that you're so concerned. You told Peter himself, upon this rock, you're building the strongest foundation ever, because he answered correctly. He said that you are the Son of God. You are the Messiah. I'm adding those words. And you responded. And we pray for this response for all here gathered. These are your children, Father. These are the called ones, chosen directly by you before birth, Father. So this morning we ask, Lord God, whatever we have learned.